Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's so nice to see you here today. I have to confess that I'm a little nervous this morning because for the last 12 weeks I've been preaching to an empty room. And now you're all sitting here and going to catch all of my mistakes and everything that I could edit out in the recording. So nice to see you all your smiling faces, and I welcome you back. To church. I know it's a little bit different because we're all spaced out and everything. I mean, spaced out in distance, not in head. And it's really nice to see you all here. This is the second time in 13 weeks that I've had a shirt and tie on. The first time was on Friday when we did the funeral for Ansel Wright. It's one of the reasons why we didn't do a video of the services, because I was usually here in jeans and t-shirt doing the recording. So now I'm all dressed up because I know that you're here. Also, I should let you know this. Since we got locked down, I hadn't shaved or had my hair cut in 13 weeks. So it was getting pretty long there, but I trimmed it all up, had Janice cut my hair for the funeral and for you folks. So there you go. We are encouraged not to sing by government regulations, but we're going to sing anyways this morning. You're all spread out enough. So I'll just say, let's sing, but just don't spit. And you're far enough away that I don't think that that'll affect anybody. So we're going to begin our service with the doxology this morning. My mother has not been feeling very well the last several weeks, and when we asked if she was going to come this morning, she really wanted to, but just was not able to do it. So we will be singing a cappella, and I know you're all familiar with doing that. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to sing the doxology, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Is that? We'll have to get you a hymn book.
Yeah.
Audrey, I'll get you one. You know the words to the doxology, don't you?
Yeah.
We'll all have to give a little and take a little here and be a little patient with what we're doing. This is, I think, a little new for us after having been away for so long. 624. Do you want to practice the tune there, Linda? You want to practice the tune? All right, here we go.
You can all hear me, right?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow in your presence this morning, and we are so thankful to you that we are able to be here this morning, even with all the distancing between us and not to being able to shake hands and give hugs. We understand the need for that just at the moment, but we do thank you that we can be together here. And I thank you for each one that is here and the interest that there is in coming back into the house of God to worship you and to fellowship this morning. We thank you for watching over us these past number of weeks. We thank you for keeping us safe and providing for all of the needs that we have. And we certainly thank you for providing for us as a church family and for all the needs that we have here. We want to bless you and praise you today and ask that you would accept of our worship. May it be pleasing in your sight this morning. Well, we pray for those who would love to be here but are just not able to yet. And we pray that you would minister to them in a special way on this Lord's Day. Bless in our service this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Once again, nice to see you all. It's nice to have Russell here in the back. He comes around from time to time. And Ansel's three daughters are with us this morning, Susan, Heather, and Daphne. John didn't make it. son-in-law for Ansel. So nice to have you ladies here. We had the funeral on Friday, seven people plus me in attendance, and I think all of them except for the one lady served as pallbearers. The three ladies there were serving as pallbearers for the casket. It's not an easy thing, is it? It's heavy and it's awkward to carry and certainly to put, but you did a fine job anyways. I've asked Joe Scott if he would come and read the scripture for us this morning. It'll be Psalm 122.
Good morning. Reading from Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe, for reading the scripture this morning. Just a couple of things to announce and to make comment on. We are under regulations, I suppose, from the health unit of Middlesex, and you'll have to pardon me, I keep losing my voice here. It's not COVID-19, it's just sinus dripping. At least when I was recording the sermons, I could edit out all of my coughing and hacking. You'll have to put up with it this morning. So we have hand sanitizers at the doors as you come in. There are masks on the table if you wish to use one. You don't have to, but if you want to, then they are there. We can't shake hands yet, and no hugs yet. The rows are 6 feet apart. You need to have three chairs in between you or so. And we're going to comply with what the health unit says, because we don't want to have anybody coming in and say, hey, you're not doing it right, and we're going to shut you down. So we want to do what we need to do. We won't be passing the offering plate. There are baskets at the front door and at the back door if you want to put your offering in there, or you can put them up here in the front plates. Also, we are going to have prayer meeting on Wednesday. we're allowed 30% of our occupancy for the building, and if you notice on the end wall back there, our occupancy is 175, and so 30% of that is 52.5 people. Anybody want to be the half? So that's what we're allowed, but the reality is in this room we could properly accommodate at least 30. We could bring some more chairs in and have a bit more, but you're all spread out kind of nicely this morning, and I'm not sure how many are actually here. 27? So thank you for that. We are going to, I hope this doesn't offend you, but we are going to make an attendance list of who is here, just in case somebody comes down sick and we need to contact people who have been here, if this would be the place where it happened. So we're not passing that on to anybody. We're not sending it to the government or anything like that. We just want to have a record of who's here, and then in the case that something might happen. So Wednesday, prayer meeting, both morning and evening. We're going to go back to that normal situation, but you can see that we don't have the circle, and we'll still have to be 6 feet apart in prayer meeting. So we're going to leave the setting like this, and we'll sit here. We'll have to forego the circle for maybe a few weeks, but we're still going to have prayer meeting. So if you're interested at all, Wednesday morning at 10:30 or Wednesday evening at 7, we will have prayer meeting. Now, we've been praying for neighbors of ours across the road, Jay and Liz Wright, and their little lad, Theo. So Liz sent some pictures. You'll have to give me a minute here. Was it on Facebook that she sent those pictures? I think I've lost it. I'll get Janice to come up and find the picture, so at least you can see what Theo looks like and the family as well. Also, we've been praying for Marvin and Kathy. I haven't heard from them recently, but you have?
Yep. They're fine. His 8th chemo went well. Very few side effects. And they just were playing it safe by not coming today.
Okay, so Marvin's doing okay. He's had, was it last Friday? He had the... had his cancer treatment and very few side effects, and so they're thanking the Lord and wanting to be safe. That's why they're not here today. So let me see if I can do this without wrecking anything. There he is. that's Theo Wright. No relation to Ansel, though. It's just same last name, but no relation. So. He's a cutie. Got a few more.
His first bath. You can see his scar because he had to have open heart surgery a few days after he was born. And there's the whole family.
So those are our neighbors across the road. We thank you for your prayers. They seem to be doing really well. They're obviously home now. They've been home for a week or two.
A week. 1 week.
Yeah. So thank you. Just pull that out. Now, just one other thing before we go to our next hymn. This first Sunday back, we are focusing in and zeroing in on worship and praise of our God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We are going to set aside all the stuff that's going on in the world right now. We're not going to deal with that at all today. We'll say something about it some other time, but not today. Today is a day to come back and to praise the Lord and to worship Him. And so that's where our focus is going to be. If you're expecting me to say something about all the stuff that's happening, the protests and the lockdown and all that kind of thing, not today. Today we want to just honor, praise, and thank and worship our God. So just so you know, that's our focus for this morning. Our next hymn, Praise the Savior, ye who know Him. Who can tell how much we owe Him? How much do we owe Him? It's impossible to count all the things that we owe. So we're going to sing just a couple of verses of Praise the Savior. You can just stay seated this morning. Can you see the words okay? All right. Praise the Savior, ye who know Him, who can tell how much we owe Him. Gladly let us surrender to Him all we are and have. Jesus is the name that charms us. He for conflict fits and arms us. Nothing moves and nothing harms us when we trust in Him. Trust in Him, ye saints, forever. He is faithful, changing never. Neither force nor guile can sever those He loves from Him. Keep us, Lord, oh, keep us cleaving to thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys with thee. Then we shall be where we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. Things which are not now nor could be, then shall be our own. Thank you. That's good singing this morning. I missed my coffee this morning. I know that Susan was going around passing some of the memorial cards to you from Ansel. This will be on the bulletin board if you haven't had a chance to see any of that. Enjoyed the funeral on Friday. All three girls and John spoke, said a few words about Dad, and it was all very, very nicely done. We will miss him around here, but he's in a far better place, home with the Lord. I mean, what better place to go than that, right? And wouldn't want to wish him anything different. I think it was on Friday, I sent you an email, at least those of you who have email, with the guidelines from the health unit. I think I put them as a PDF attachment. I hope that you took some time to read through them. Those will be posted on the bulletin board as well after the service. And then we have received a couple of missionary letters, one from Leanna Weeb just recently, and one from the Buckinghams down in Campbellton, New Brunswick. And so they'll be over there for you to read as well. Well, we're going to keep things a little bit tight, tighter this morning, so we're going to go right into the message at this point in time. As we said earlier, it's nice to see people in the room, having spent 12 weeks anyways preaching to an empty room. And even though our church was in suspension, my dress code wasn't, as I mentioned to you. I was probably both Sundays, well, in the cold, jeans and t-shirt, but the last few weeks, shorts and t-shirt. So it's a little rough being in dress clothes this morning, but we want to honor the Lord. This morning, as we mentioned just a little bit earlier as well, we're not going to be thinking about COVID-19, protests, government dictates, racial discrimination, all that stuff that the news is consumed with these days. Rather, this morning, I would have us to think about praising, worshiping, and thanking our God, and for being in church today, in the house of the Lord. And we'll talk about those other things another time, but not this morning. Over the last 12 or 13 weeks, while we have not been in services, we have not stopped being the local church at Berean Baptist Church. You've been in your own places, we've been set apart from each other, but that hasn't stopped our church from being in existence. And I think the reality of that truth is seen here this morning with so many of you who have come to the first service back when we were allowed to open. But to actually be in church again for worship and study is a big blessing for sure, don't you think? A big blessing. I know you've been watching all the guys on TV and stuff, and you know, I feel a little nervous about that because you've been listening to some pretty good preachers probably all through the last 13 weeks, and now you got to put up with me again. But how much of a blessing is it to actually be back together in each other's company here in this place? And I thank the Lord for that. So I invite you to take your Bibles, turn back to the psalm that Joe read for us earlier. We're just going to look at verse 1 this morning. Psalm 122 is one of the what are called the songs of ascent. Here the Jewish pilgrims would sing each of these songs as they mounted up the hills towards the city of Jerusalem, coming in on a feast day. And there are a number of them. So actually, Psalm 120 to 134 are the songs of the degrees. So as they were traveling along, they would begin to sing these as they would go up the hills to where the temple was, or at least where the tabernacle was in the days of David. So in Psalm 122 and verse 1, we read this. David says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We're not going to work through the whole psalm this morning. I just want to zero in on that first verse and the first thought. Notice three things that come out of that one verse in verse 1. Notice the psalmist's emotion. What did he say? I was glad. I was glad. And then secondly, the psalmist's company. Notice when they said, let us go. David's not going into this thing all by himself. He's in company with others who were there. And they said to him, let us go into the house of the Lord. And so we'll take a look at the psalmist's company. And then thirdly, the psalmist's place. Where did they go? Into the house of the Lord. So let's just take a quick look at each of these thoughts that come out of verse 1 this morning. Number one, the psalmist's emotion. He says, I was glad. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. It's a wonderful emotion, isn't it? To be glad. What would you want to be? Glad or sad or mad? How many want to be glad? Anybody want to be mad? We all want to be glad. It's part of the life of the believer in Christ to be joyful. It is true that there are tough times that come along from time to time, and we sorrow and we're sad. Ansel's homegoing causes us sorrow and sadness, but we also joy in the Lord because we know exactly where he is. But I would submit to you that the overwhelming attitude for the believer in Jesus Christ should be joy and gladness in the Lord. It ought to be overarching emotion for us. I mean, part of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. It's what the Spirit of God puts into us as we submit to him. And so the overwhelming attitude for the believer in Christ ought to be joy and gladness in the Lord. And especially when it comes to being in the house of the Lord. When we're here together, we ought to be able to rub off on each other. Well, it's 6 foot distance, rubbing off, to have that joy of the Lord in all of our lives. If you come into this place a little discouraged or downhearted, it ought to be by the time you leave this place that you are picked up a little bit with some joy and gladness. Were you not glad when you heard we were going to have service in church this morning? How many were glad about that? Yeah, I know a lot of you said glad to be going back. And I'm sure that you were glad, and I'm sure you are glad sitting here together in this sanctuary. So it's a wonderful emotion, gladness, joy in the Lord, and something that is reflective of our relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, before we consider the psalmist's place, the third point, think about, secondly, the psalmist's company. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Who are they? Who are they? Well, we're not told particularly in this psalm who they are. But if you look down at verse 8 of the psalm, notice what David says here. He says, for my, what? My brethren and companions' sake. So he's in the company of his brethren, in the company of his companions. And so from the context of Psalm 122, understanding that it's in the days of David, we would know that they, that he is referring to, are godly Jews who are on their way up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord at a feast time. And they were all coming together in company to the Lord. His brethren would be all of those tribes of Israel that were coming together to worship the Lord. How wonderful it is to go into the place where the worship of God is offered, right? Where praise and thanksgiving are given to him who loved us and gave himself for us. May I submit to you that this is the spirit of Hebrews 10:24 and 25, which say, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." It's the whole spirit of coming to church is coming together in company with the brethren and with friends who are coming with us. As much as I enjoy doing the services each Sunday, it was getting pretty lonely here without you all on the Sunday. Janice was here one Sunday. She could only handle one Sunday with Actually, it was Easter Sunday, and she didn't want to just stay home on Easter Sunday. So she came in and sat, was the only one here in the building, in the room. But all the other Sundays, I was by myself. And I think I appreciate more than ever having you all here in the room with me today. It's a good to fellowship. Psalm 133, verse 1. Psalmist says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Within the context of that verse, we note that it is pleasant for brethren to be together. It is a pleasant time and experience, a joyful time. And it's always such a joy to be here at Berean with you all from week to week, from Wednesday to Wednesday. And I missed you all very much here. Now when anyone says, "Hey, let's go to church," I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that. And I'm glad to come in with everyone who wants to be here to worship the Lord. So the psalmist's companions, or his brethren and those who were with him traveling up to the Temple Mount to worship the Lord. Temple wasn't built yet. It was the tabernacle up there. But they were going up on the feast day to worship the Lord and doing so in company. And how much of, more of an encouragement it is when we can do those things together. Now, thirdly, notice the psalmist's place. Psalm 122, verse 1 says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." What do you notice about Lord? All capital letters. That's the Hebrew word Jehovah, right? So Jehovah, the self-existent one. And notice, and I'm sure that you have, in the statement that David makes, he's talking about going into the house of the Lord. This is not just to simply stand outside and admire whatever the church building may be, or just to pass by, have a look at the beauty of the building. He's talking about going into the house of the Lord. And what better place is there to go into than the house of the Lord? Now, what is this house of the Lord? Well, in David's day, it would have been the tabernacle and the space that had been set apart for erecting that tabernacle and then the areas surrounding it. It was in the city of Jerusalem. It was a sacred place. The house of the Lord is the place where the Lord dwelt with his people. And the tabernacle represented the presence of God in the midst of his people. Now, do you know that the little phrase, "the house of the Lord," occurs 234 times, all of them in the Old Testament? 234 times you will find the phrase, "house of the Lord," in our Bibles, all of them in the Old Testament. Let me give you a sample of them. Psalm 23, verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell, where? In the house of the Lord forever. That's one place. Psalm 27, verse 4, the psalmist says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." That is to inquire of the Lord, to worship him and to spend that time in his presence. Now, David didn't build the temple. Remember who did? David's son, Solomon. He actually built the temple that was then destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC. The Jews rebuilt the temple, the second temple. It wasn't quite as nice as the first one, but it still housed the same purpose. And then that temple, the second one, was destroyed. You remember when? Destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Right? Today there is no temple in the state of Israel or in the city of Jerusalem. So the question is, has there then been no house of the Lord on earth since 70 AD? Is there no place on earth any longer after that temple was destroyed where God could have his presence in the midst of his people? Well, consider this verse, first of all. Look at, keep your finger in Psalm 122 and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3. First Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15 say this. Paul's writing to Timothy. "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself," where? "In the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Is there still a house of God here on this earth? Absolutely. It's vested in the church of Jesus Christ. And of course, the church of Jesus Christ is made up of all of those sinners who have repented of their sins, recognized that they needed a Savior, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior, and on the expression of our faith and trust in Christ, we have been baptized into the body of Christ, which is the church. So from the day of Pentecost, in the year that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, there has been a house of God, and that is the church of Jesus Christ. So you may be interested to know then that the phrase "the house of God" occurs 90 times in our Bibles, 84 in the Old Testament and 6 times in the New Testament. The house of God today, I submit to you, is the church of the living God. This place right here at Berean Baptist Church is a house of God, into which we come together to worship and to praise our Savior, our Lord, and our God, Jesus Christ. And I'm glad to be here. Are you? Now, one day, and surely it is not too long in coming, the church will be raptured at the coming of Jesus Christ to the clouds of the air and calling us up to meet him in the air. The church will depart from this earth. We know that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, which talks about the rapture of the church. The voice of the Lord, the sound of the trumpet, the voice of the archangel, call of God for us to come up and meet him. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, 17, I think it is, the word "caught up" is where we get our English word "rapture" from, to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And we believe that it's not too much longer before that event is going to take place, and the church will depart from this earth. And then where will the house of the Lord be? church is gone. Tribulation is beginning. Where will the house of God be? Well, the scriptures tell us that there will be another temple built in the city of Jerusalem during the days of the tribulation period. In fact, in Israel today, there are plans being prepared for the building of the third temple. All things that are necessary, such as the priest's garments, the various pieces of furniture, all things required for sacrifice, are already ready to be utilized in the new temple. And once the church is gone and has departed, then I believe very shortly after that will be a new temple built in the city of Jerusalem. Now, if the place where the Muslim Dome of the Rock is really the place where the temples had been, something drastic is going to have to happen to clear that land and that space for building a third temple. There are some voices today that are saying that it's not necessarily the top of Mount Zion that would be the place for the temple, that maybe there's another place around that they could build it, but I'm not sure about that. I think it's going to be exactly where the other two were, and believing that that's the top of Mount Moriah. So we know that there will be a house of God, a temple, for at least the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. It would be known as the house of God. The Antichrist who will come along is going to make a covenant and a treaty with Israel for 7 years, and the first 3.5 of those years, the temple will be part of the expression of God's people coming into the house of the Lord and to worship him. But in the middle of that 7 year tribulation period, remember, the Antichrist comes into the temple and desecrates it and installs himself in the temple, showing himself that he is God, small g. Right? So the house of God will quickly turn into the house of Satan, because the entity that energizes the Antichrist, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is Satan himself. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4, we read this: "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." That's referencing the Antichrist, the man of sin, son of perdition. He is going to show himself to be God in the temple that will be erected for the glory and for the worship of the true God, Jehovah. That's coming in the future. But today we have a house of God. It's right here. This is our church. When you came in the doors of this place, you were entering into the house of the Lord, the house of God. And I'm glad always to be in this place with you. So back to Psalm 22, verse 1. "I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord." And I'm sure that you are glad to be able to be back here as well on this day in the house of the Lord. It's important, don't you think? It's important to be in the house of God. We miss it when we can't be. But just think of the importance of being in the house of God. Let me give you just quickly some suggestions here. We come into the house of God to worship the Lord. This is the place. Now, we can worship when we're out there, but to gather together in this place to worship him is so vitally important. I was listening to or watching a video of the quartet convention down in Nashville. I think it was back in 2017. And almost every one of the groups that got up there to sing, and Southern gospel music, I like Southern gospel music. Every one of them, referencing the crowd that was there listening, called them church. They would say, "Come on, church, let's give an amen to whatever song that they were singing." That wasn't the church. It might have been a bunch of believers that were gathered together in a concert, but it wasn't the church. the church has certain qualifications to it, right? There are certain theological beliefs that we have to hold to. You need pastors, you need deacons, you need saints, Philippians 1:1. The ordinances of the church, baptism, Lord's Supper, they take place here in church, not anywhere else. So how important is it to be in the house of God? It is important because we come here to worship. We come here to fellowship together. We come here for encouragement and edification. We come here for giving to the Lord in our offerings. We come here for the preaching of the Word of God. It's important to be here. I'm glad to be here, and I trust you are too. So let's be sure on this day, this Sunday, the first day back after so very long, let us be sure that we thank the Lord all over the place for getting us back together here at Berean Baptist Church. And we'll look forward to the days ahead when we can meet maybe a little bit closer to one another. But thank you for being here today and for making this a great, great first day back. And I trust that God will bless you all. We're going to sing one more time just as we close service this morning. We are going to sing, "All That Thrills My Soul Is Jesus." Let me invite you to stand and we'll sing. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence all divine? True and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Now we're going to sing verse 2 and then verse 3 and then the chorus. Love of Christ so freely given, grace of God beyond decree, mercy higher than the heavens, deeper than the deepest sea. What a wonderful redemption, never can a mortal know. How my sin, though red like crimson, can be whiter than the snow. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. Thank you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning, just the opportunity to be together after so very long, the opportunity to come in to worship you, to give thanks, sing praises to your name, study your word. We just appreciate so much all that you have done in keeping us safe and keeping us together so that we can have a wonderful time this morning as we have come to worship you. I pray that you will dismiss us with your blessing, that you'll watch over us until we meet again, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. The health unit instructions are that we should exit the building in social distancing fashion. So we'll have to monitor yourself if you're going out the front door just to keep space. they suggest that there should be no congregating in the room, but I know you. And as long as you're 6 feet apart, you're going to spend a little bit of time chit-chatting before you take leave. But thank you all for being here today. We'll see you Wednesday. If you're interested in coming to prayer meeting, we will be here. And then certainly next Sunday, we'll be back again. So God bless you all. We are dismissed. I was just reminded, we'll not have an evening service tonight. For the Sundays in June, we're just going to stick with the Sunday morning service, just so we get our feet back under us kind of thing. Probably in July, we'll have the evening service start up again. So thank you, Audrey, for that reminder. God bless you.